the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
At the time before the birth of Christ, taxes were collected by men from Rome who were called publicani. That's why that name is given to Zacchaeus in our reading today. He's called a publican. Publicani. But actually, things had changed at the time of the birth of Christ. It really probably wasn't quite fair to call Zacchaeus by that name, publicani, because that name was from a time before the reign of Caesar Augustus. And you remember he was emperor at the time of the birth of Christ. And if you know any Roman history at all, you know that since Julius Caesar, Rome, which had been a republic, had become an empire. And the first true emperor of Rome was Caesar Augustus. And he changed a lot of things. One of the things he changed was the way taxes were taken care of. Before his time, the publicani were men who made a bid as to how much tax they thought they could bring to Rome from particular provinces. They would make a bid, and the highest bidder won. And the highest bidder went to the provinces, and his job was to take land or livestock, non-cash wealth, and convert it into cash and send that cash to Rome equal to the amount that he had bid in order to get that position. And the balance of what he collected was his. It was a great money maker. And naturally, the publicani were seriously hated. I mean, it was almost like soldiers coming in and stripping the wealth of the land for Rome. That was the publicani. At the time of Caesar Augustus, that system was changed. In order to change the system, Augustus, the first emperor, declared that there would be a census throughout the empire. And that's the census that was taking place at the time of the birth of Christ. It's the reason that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, because that was Joseph's city. The new system was that each province was due to Rome 1% of its wealth, plus there was a flat head tax on individual citizens. It was a much more fair system. And the publicani, the ones who really deserved that name, left tax collecting because it was no longer lucrative. The big money was no longer in tax collecting. They moved into financing, that sort of thing, where there was possibility of real serious wealth. And the tax collectors were simply those, preferably from amongst the people, who would collect the 1% wealth tax, as it was called, plus the head tax from individuals. Most likely, Zacchaeus collected his 1% province tax in Jericho. Jesus has just come into Jericho. That's where Zacchaeus is. And probably Zacchaeus would have collected that 1% tax, that wealth tax in Jericho, from the Roman trade in Jericho in balsam. Balsam was a resin. It was the basis of the balm of Gilead, and it was worth a lot. It was the major export of that province. And beyond that, he would collect the head tax from individuals. But still, the hatred of the publicani transferred over to men like Zacchaeus. And after all, Zacchaeus was, in fact, a rich man and considered a sinner by everyone. St. Nikolai Velimirovich says of Zacchaeus, "Within him awoke the man who was confused by the sinner within himself and hastened with all his strength to get ahead." To get ahead, not in the financial way, but to get ahead in a spiritual way. And to climb up high, to see Christ, to see a man without sin, to see his own pure, unpolluted, primal image. This is something all of us need to do. We do not have a clear vision of Christ God simply based on our own self-understanding. We have to climb up high spiritually in order to see Christ, because like Zacchaeus, like all of us as human beings, this is the only way that we can see our pure and unpolluted primal image, the person that we are created to be. Each one of us is created to be that in the particular way that is defined by our own individuality, our personality, our capacities, our abilities. But there is a pure and unpolluted primal image that we can't see without seeing Christ. Seeing Christ, we understand what our calling is to be. After Zacchaeus comes down from the sycamore tree, he no longer did as we all do and as he did before. He no longer takes his own part, counts himself as innocent and justified. Instead, he sees his own sin and he rejects his sin. He rejects his having missed the mark. Now, all of us have a tendency to be defensive about ourselves. It's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons we accuse others. We want to say that we are innocent, we are okay. So we are defensive before God. And one of the best kinds of defense is a good offense. And so we accuse others. We see someone else's sin and we see, well, this person is this way, that person is that way. And we approach others and see how they are not what they ought to be. It's a way of self-defense. Zacchaeus is through with this. Once he sees Christ, he stops doing that. He stops defending himself in that kind of way. No longer takes his own part and says that he is innocent. And what does he say to Jesus? He says, "Behold, half my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it to him four times over." He goes way beyond what would be legal and just according to the letter of the law. There is a favorite, probably my favorite quotation from a Roman writer, showing that the Romans understood that there was something beyond simply the letter of the law. Cicero said, "If we do only what is required of us," what's required of us under the law, "we are slaves. The moment we do more than the law requires of us, we are free. We are free. Only by doing more than we are required to do, because that's the minimum. How can we be Christians and only do the minimum, have a legalistic relationship to God?" Zacchaeus could have just admitted where he was legally in the wrong and balanced the books on a legal basis and returned to being a humble agent of Rome on the basis of Caesar Augustus's tax. He could have done that, but he goes far beyond that. He joins his life to Jesus' life when he sees himself in Christ as he ought to be. He sees the pure image of how God has created him to be. All of us as Christians, if we are going to be Christians at all, we have to be able to do that. We have to climb up and be able to see what we are truly meant to be like. We are meant to be like Christ. Zacchaeus joins his life to Jesus' life, and Jesus says to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." Salvation, we do not gain salvation by balancing the books and giving the minimum. We don't gain salvation by accepting what God has done for us and doing nothing beyond accepting his sacrifice. We gain salvation by joining our lives to his life of crucifixion and resurrection. That's how we gain salvation. We gain salvation by actively living the life of Christ in the world. And this is how Zacchaeus will be beyond this point. Our relationship to God, we have to say, is not on the legal model at all. The idea that I have a clean slate and I am fine until I break some rule that I clearly understood, that's how we operate. It isn't how the state police of Georgia operates, I have to say. I remember being stopped for law that I didn't know anything about, Everybody seems to know it now. They really pushed it, I guess. When you see a blue light on the right-hand side of the road and an officer has stopped someone, you immediately get into the left-hand lane and probably be a good idea to slow down. What you do not do is stay in the same lane and just kind of try to creep past. Because if there are two policemen, one of them will follow you, which is what happened to me. And he explained to me, this has been the law for quite some time. You must pull into the left-hand lane. It's not enough to just slow down and go past. You know, and I've told this story once before, and some of you may remember that unfortunately the second officer walked from between the two cars, the police car and the car in front of him, out into the road, assuming that all Georgians were good law-abiding citizens and there would be no car. And then I came, and then that's why they chased me, because they accused me of trying to run down an officer, which I did not try to do. But the point is here that ignorance of the law was no excuse. And I, silly fellow, thought that, well, if I go to court instead of just paying it online, the fine will be different, but I should have paid it online. Because I went to court. I didn't say anything. I didn't defend myself. But the judge was so outraged that someone had endangered the life of a policeman that he raised the fine. He raised it a great deal. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. But we like to try to function as though ignorance of the law is a kind of excuse. And that we can balance the books so long as we follow the rules that we understand. And it's unjust to bring laws against us, rules against us, when sometimes we feel like God does this. I didn't know that the rule included that. I thought it was just basically the Ten Commandments, you know. But Jesus goes beyond the Ten Commandments. For some of us, it doesn't seem quite fair. We don't understand. We have not climbed up and seen Christ. We haven't seen what we are meant to be. We haven't seen that virtue is meant to come from a heart of virtue, that it cannot be compelled by law. We are meant to be agents of virtue, agents of goodness in God's world. We always were meant to be. So just sticking to the law is not sufficient. Our relationship to God is a love of God and others model, not a legalistic model. So repentance means change. It doesn't mean I will defend myself because I see that I was not in the wrong. Repentance always means change, so that we can become more like Christ. If we've done something other than that, then repentance is necessary. To repent and join ourselves to Christ in the spirit that Zacchaeus did. We must in some way do something opposite from what we have done to put ourselves in a condition where we have missed the mark. Not simply legalistically, but we have not been Christ-loving, God-loving, loving of others. In some way we have missed the mark, as Zacchaeus realizes that he has been when he sees Christ. Once we see this, we will desire, as Zacchaeus did, to see our sins, admit them to ourselves, and confess and repent of them before Christ God, as Zacchaeus did. The forked branches of a sycamore tree, you can see this in some icons. The branches stick out like spikes. This kind of sycamore tree that we're talking about in the Middle East has branches like that. It's like a ladder. So you can actually climb up into the tree as though you were climbing up along a ladder. It reminds us of Jacob's ladder, or the ladder of divine ascent. Christ has been born. We have celebrated the cycle of his birth. That cycle has come to an end. But now we are reminded that in order to see Christ and repent of not being as God created us to be, and instead make the effort to live our lives along with his life, we must climb up. We must climb up high to see a man without sin as Zacchaeus did, to be able to see our own pure and unpolluted image, and that will inspire us to live in a different kind of way. The law cannot accomplish this. Only the love of Christ can accomplish this. That is the lesson of Zacchaeus and the sycamore tree.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.